Call roll, please.
Mrs. Colby?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Dodds?
Here.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Here.
Mr. Detweiler and I are also here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Morlock, you are signed up for public communication. Typically during our special meetings, we don't have public communication sections, but you are here and signed in, and we are more than willing, ready and willing to listen to your public communication.
Awesome, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to try to make this a little quick. And the last time I talked about the things that the board can do about the levy, this time I'm going to talk about another thing that I'm fond of, and that's the band. My boy was in the band for a while, and now my daughter's in the band. And on the itinerary for you guys, the meeting was about the funding for their uniforms. And I brought in an example of some of the uniforms that they have currently. This one's got a messed up sleeve over here that they have a number of uniforms that are in this kind of disrepair that a number of seamstresses have volunteered a lot of hours to try to repair some of these. This one's obviously a little bit trickier repair, but they'll probably get that one done before too long as it is. I wanted to let you know that it takes a year to get the uniforms once they've been ordered from the uniform company. That was something, I know I talked with Kelly at the end of the last meeting that some people didn't know that. So I just want to be sure that you guys know they're going to be using these uniforms throughout the rest of this year, and they're averaging about 4 or 5 marching band competitions that they do where they're representing our district at state functions, and they run across a dozen different bands at those. So it'd be nice for them to represent Madison Plains as best they can, as the seamstresses doing what they can. I talked with Ms. Perkins, well, Mrs. Hostetler, I guess now, and she sent me some of the uniforms that they're thinking about getting, and I particularly like the middle one, but I don't think that they've actually voted on which one they want to go with yet. They're kind of waiting for action from the board before they decide that. But I just wanted to let you guys have some physical stuff for you to take a look at. This part is messed up for the snaps. That's going to be next to impossible to fix. But and then some of the other things for the uniform to show you what they've got going on. Like I said, they're representing the district. They're getting superior ratings for all these state competitions that they're doing, which is absolutely fantastic for a band our size. And hopefully they get to continue that and represent us in high fashion. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to board work session. A couple things from me. OSBA is coming up, I think, in, put it on my calendar, November.
November.
Yeah. So that's something typically we always, you know, kind of sign up for. So kind of start to select which things you're interested in sitting in on. It's kind of easier if you plan it that way. So Todd has advance notice of when to buy tickets and who to buy them for.
And how many hotel rooms, if we need hotel rooms, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay, it starts on Sunday and ends on Wednesday.
I think drop today.
Yeah.
Tuesday?
Yeah.
Tuesday. So, okay. That's usually well attended by us. There's good sessions there. I like that. And then I will probably this week or next send out evaluations to give your final feedback to, and then we'll discuss those at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Those would be 16-17.
16-17. Mm-hmm. As we end August on the 28th. Okay, that's all I have. Anybody else have anything else? Board work session? Okay.
As far as the evaluations go, I would like to have just a little more clarity of what our process is, how we go about it. Part of it is just not being familiar with it, and just want to make sure I got a grasp on what we're using. I discussed with you the Ohio Department of Education has a pretty good template, and it gives, I don't know if you've ever seen it in action before, but
that's what we use.
Is that the same one? Okay. All right. So it's got things throughout the year that we should be.
So I'll send out I'll send out this year, I'll send you last year's review so that you guys have a have not done those before?
The OSES and OTES were modified beginning last year by us to include a rating system similar to what the teachers have, which is the highest is accomplished down to limited. So there was a rating system at the end. Their system does not have that. So
we added that.
You can look at it and see if that's what you still want to do moving forward.
It also made it a lot more user-friendly because they were a little cumbersome.
I mean, that needs to sit down with you and just...
Yeah.
Well, the general formatting of it was a disaster.
Right.
To use
roughly the same.
Yeah.
But the formatting was, yeah.
Same. It's the same content, subject matters, I guess, if you will. So subject and criteria. And then we put the goals in there. So we've done it a couple different ways, but I can lay out a couple ways. We did a retreat, I think, laying out goals and kind of talking through those in the beginning when we had a lot of new board members. That was helpful and valuable. I think, did you think that was valuable for us to talk about how to do that? Yeah, because I think, you know, when you haven't done it, it's kind of like, how does that work? But yeah, we can let the process too.
I think that's worth doing again.
We could schedule that if you'd like, if you guys think that'd be a good idea. A retreat date, just, it's the same regular meeting, open public.
You know, I sent you an email on the, was it 15-16, were we able to determine if there is one, assigned one, a not assigned one? What's the status of that?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
But we're waiting on signatures tonight.
Okay.
For that.
Thank you. And then, so I'll send out some dates that we have a meeting just around that. That sound good for everybody? Yeah. September. Mr. Detweiler, it's all your section. Thank you.
Before I get into the levy discussion, one of the things that you'll be asked to approve tonight is the resolution for us authorizing us to seek bids for buses. The PI plan, we have two buses scheduled to be bought this year. It's $200,000. We have to have your approval to at least seek bids. MEC is the co-op that we go through because then they get the power of volume buying. And so you'll be asked to approve that tonight. So that's not something new. It's just you have to authorize us to seek bids.
What shape are our buses in right now?
Actually, our fleet is not too bad. If you watch them line up out here, our 20-odd buses, we have some that are really old, and they're kept down in the lot. They're used either for parts or for spares. One of the newer ones breaks down. But we're in the process of, we have a timeline in place where we want to replace anything with over 300,000 miles and that type of thing.
Oh, I was asking because I'm just curious about the necessity of replacing two buses when where we're at. Does that make sense?
You mean financially?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
yeah.
I know what the PI fund has,
right.
So I know the money's there.
Right.
But we're also seeking a PI levy, so you know, do we conserve some of that money? I mean, just in case.
Well, we'll go through the PI tonight, the status of it. That might help answer some of the questions. And if not, we'll certainly get answers.
Okay.
If you can go ahead and pull up. Three different things that I wanted to speak about tonight. Of course, we can talk about anything the board wants to talk about. Levy results from August, our PI levy plan, which kind of touched on what Bob's pointing to, and the levy in 2018, if the question in regards to that. For tonight, flip to the next slide, we'll go over these four different areas. Todd will give a brief update on financial status of general fund, looking at the forecast, the bottom line, how that looks, the PI levy, we'll talk about that, which of course we'll touch on the PI as well underneath financial review. And then general fund budget balancing plan for fiscal year 19 and beyond. Again, the failure means we have to have different kinds of discussion moving forward, and we'll have the start of that tonight. I don't have any expectations we're going to answer all questions tonight, and I don't think the board should have that either. There's a lot of work to be done. If you go to the very last slide, questions that I know right off the top that we need to kind of mull around tonight. Does the board want to add anything to the PI levy communication plan, which you've gotten a copy of, and we'll briefly go over it tonight? Again, we've started communication and campaigning for the PI levy already. It started Friday night. Does the board want to replace the levy on the ballot in May of 18? Again, don't expect you to decide that tonight, but that's a big question for us throughout the course of this year and the communications we put out, because it won't start after the PI levy, it'll start immediately with all of our communication if we're going to put something on in May of 18. Does the board want to explore a different type of levy for May? Again, all of you had different people saying, you should have tried this, you should have done that. We have to have a discussion on that. Does the board have areas of the budget that are considered untouchable? Part of a budget balancing plan, if you don't seek new revenues, you do reductions. And so one of the big questions we'll have to know as we put together a reduction plan is, what are things that are untouchable, if there are any, in Madison Plains? I've been in districts where you will not touch this. This is a sacred. You will not touch this cow. I don't know if we have that in Madison Plains. But we have.
I do. You don't want that right now.
That's right. We have to have that conversation. And does the board want the superintendent, of course, in conjunction with the treasurer working on the finances, telling me what we do and don't have, to develop a budget reduction plan that balances the general fund for 18-19 without an increase in revenues? So if the answer to that is yes, Todd and I will begin working on that immediately. Because again, if that's what we're going to do, if we're going to not put a levy on, we have to have that. If we're going to put a levy on, we got to have a plan B in the event it doesn't pass. So those questions need to be answered in the relatively near future. So as we go through this tonight, kind of keep those in the back of your mind as we go through the presentation. And again, this is not just Tim presenting. This is a conversation. So as we go through this, if you think of questions, let's just go right through it. The analysis. Right now, SHP, they said it'd take 4 to 5 weeks. I've asked for them to have it by the analysis of the voter data by next week. If you remember, they go through and they actually see who voted and who did not vote. One of the things that I'm curious to see is if our parents actually got out to vote. Obviously, it was a low turnout, but I want to see if our parents voted and we know who they are, and if we see they didn't vote, then that's one of the factors that caused our defeat. I'm not going to say it's the only factor, but I think it was a major player. So we will have that in the next week or so. Hopefully by the next board meeting we'll have it. I'm hoping, I'd like to have by impact this week, but I don't think that's going to happen. The analysis we do have is what you're used to seeing. Let's go back. Yeah, this thing right there. You have an electronic copy. Sorry if you don't have your computers on. The analysis of our levy history, and then the precinct breakdown. There's no doubt about it. Low turnout. It was a heavy defeat. It was not the worst defeat Madison Plains ever had, although some might have thought it was. Some of the facts I put down below, in over 50 years, we've been on the ballot 60 times, which was once every 14 months. We've been off the ballot for 38 months since July, as of July 31st, 2017. That part of the plan that we put in place worked. We stayed off the ballot for a long period of time compared to our history. We passed.
Saying the work is relative, I guess. I mean, we were hoping that that would curry us favor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, it worked that we did it.
Right.
Did it.
I don't know that it's to curry favor, but at the time that we talked about this, Mark, I felt, and I think the board felt, that the voters were tired of seeing a levy every election we had a levy on. We thought they were getting levy burnout. So the plan was, let's stay off the levy, let's relieve that pressure.
I think it's a good idea. I was surprised it didn't have more punch for us.
Yeah. Am I correct in saying that, Kelly?
Levy fatigue is what we called it. And I think the voters, every year, they're like, you want more money, you want more money, you want more money. And that's, we want to make sure that was the statement, right? That's not what we're doing. That's not.
Question.
Right. No. I agree. We thought that was the right way to do that. And obviously, that didn't carry in our favor with who turned out at the polls.
But I will say, it worked in that it took away one reason to vote now.
You're always asked, right.
And that's really
one
what
of
you're
our,
after.
Right, right.
We passed 23 issues out of 60 attempts in those 50 years for a 38% passage rate. We've never passed a new operating levy on the first attempt, and we still have not. We have only passed new money on the first try two times, 1972 for a PI and 1976 for the bond for the high school. That was the first attempt. Didn't realize that. The worst defeats, the bond issue in 99 failed by 76%. Operating, 1978 failed by 65%. An income tax in 82 failed by 71%. And a PI in 82 failed by 64%. We've passed 100% of all PI renewal attempts. One thing I will take from that last one, though, is we will take absolutely nothing for granted. I think if there's anything we learned from August is we can't take anything for granted. So that's why you will see in our communication plan a very active role that the district will play in disseminating information. The August attempt, our advice and our decision as a campaign committee was we're going to have a very targeted, very focused campaign. I think that works in some ways. In our district, if you remember from our survey, one of the main means of communication is the newspaper. And I think we were in the newspaper a lot. That tells me people like to get something in their hand in our district. And we did not do that during this campaign. So that's one of the takeaways I have. Now, the campaign committee will meet and we'll talk about it, see what they agree on. But I think from a district vantage point for the PI, we will be sending out a lot of information. Hard copies.
I heard that too. I heard people saying, "Well, we didn't know anything about that."
Right.
When they said that their communication form, what we thought,
right,
they were saying was that the communication form was from the paper, and clearly that was a miss.
That, and I think our district is trained to, whenever something's on the ballot, they're used to getting something.
Yep.
Whether you're a parent or a non-parent, they're used to getting something in the mailbox saying this is on.
That may be so, but I hear people say, why didn't it was on the levy? And I'm thinking, if you wear blinders, we have signs all over the district. How can you say that? And it's all because they did not get anything in the mail.
They say.
That's
they
a plug for the mail.
That's right. That's
a plug.
That's a plug. Shameless plug.
Yeah, not that I'm plugging anything.
That was surprising to me, though, to hear that. I was very surprised.
I was too. I
thought we could have communicated in a more planned approach to the whole campaign. So I was disappointed that was the reason I heard, for sure.
I think the PI is a great opportunity for us to be
better
as a district, more aggressive in our communication.
Yeah.
You'll see as we go through this plan, so I've labeled some things that are new that will address some of the communication pieces that were out there that didn't come from us, that may not have always been accurate. So we'll talk about that in this as well. So the voter analytics is pending. Any questions on this? Do you want to see any, you guys have this electronically?
Yeah, is IOPE, I think it's in, or whatever it's in, or RIT, is that the income tax?
Income tax for operations.
So 2006, we tried that. Three times and it failed.
Yeah.
That's then once in 82.
That whole time period was very problematic for the district. If you look at how many things were on the ballot from 2002 forward, I mean, it was, you can see the fatigue. 2002, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10,
it
12,
was every
13.
Year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the assumption we made that there was voter fatigue was 100% accurate. And I think it's good that I don't know that we heard that a lot for the August ballot, that you guys are always asking for money. I don't think that was said a lot.
Didn't hear it. Okay.
Well, I didn't hear it. I don't know what they said.
So, it's just good information to have. SHP's analytics are pending, and now if we go to the next one.
Did our survey ask if people had supported income tax?
I don't believe it did. I don't think it spoke to that. We can take a look at that.
Tricky.
Did you say income tax?
Was it covered in that survey?
I don't remember. We've talked about it, but I don't remember.
Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit here. Let Todd talk about the PI fund, and if you want to talk about general fund too, then I'll jump back to the slide for actual expenditure.
Check this plug. Yeah, check this plug.
So do you think maybe like, I'm sorry, do you think maybe the lack of feedback on the blogs should have been maybe a sign for us? Because we weren't hearing anything right before. You know, just in hindsight, if you look back at it, maybe.
The thing about this district, though, they're not shy.
I know.
They go back to two-tier bus, and people weren't shy about expressing what they thought. I mean, our blog was blowing up, and we had plenty of feedback. This, we didn't get feedback to us.
Yeah.
I think there were other areas where people felt comfortable expressing what they were thinking. And that's why I say I want to address that.
Well, okay, sorry.
And,
this is our USAS system, USAS Web. This is the PI fund, your 003 account. Right now, we have an available balance of $255,000. We have $166,000 of that encumbered with an $89,000 unencumbered balance. We have $833 sitting requisitioned right now waiting for approval. So a final remaining balance of $88,336. We do have the receivable amount for this year that will come in, which Tim will speak through where that'll come and be, you know, close to $100,500,000. You know, that'll supplement that. It'll increase that balance.
The general fund right now
has a $3.1 million balance. So that's where we're sitting there. That's live data. But like Mr. Detweiler said, I'm not going to have all the solutions tonight, but I'll try and revisit and show you where we've been and where we've gone through and kind of where we are right now. So starting off, our October forecast here. In our October forecast, we identified a deficit of $627,000 in FY19. That prompted us to look at other good solutions. That's where we came up with the two-tier option. Before we had that vetted by the state, we did a revised forecast because it was such a significant impact, changed our bottom line greatly, and that got us to the January forecast, which showed us with a remaining balance in 19 of $16,000. Okay, so that was the adjustment made. Where we ended up, and I'll switch over to the spending plan here. This is 2017's final spending plan, and we went over this at the August meeting. But we ended up coming in, you know, $363,000 better than what we thought we would. And that's a combination of things. We were within 1% of our revenue estimation, and we came in 3.1% underneath our expenditure estimation, our expenditure estimate. So that combined came to that $363,000. So we had expected the end of the year at $3.3 million. We actually ended it at $3.7
million. Where salaries were, we came in under
the
highest.
So I can show you there were two big areas on the expenditure side. Salaries, we came in 2.7% under our projections. And also in the capital improvements here, we came in $100,000 under. We had a really low year on our capital improvements on the general fund side. And a lot of that was pushing a lot of that burden onto the PI fund, knowing that we had this declining general fund balance. But historically, you know, we've spent, you know, around $150,000-$170,000 for capital improvements out of the general fund. So that's why that budget was there for $130,000, I think is what it was. So we came in under there for $100,000, came in under on salaries at came in under $218,000. So those were the two big heavy hitters there. Our revenue came in close to what it was. As I said before, the big one here that came in under was the all other operating revenue. That's where we estimate how much our open enrollment is going to be in and out. So you figure $60,000, that's roughly 10 kids that we may have been off. That's part of that. So that all adds up to that $363,000. With that, we move into FY18, into the budget here.
Before you move off, I want to make a point on this. In most school districts, if you're less than 1% off of your estimates and less than 3% off of your expenditure estimates, it's outstanding. I mean, that's kudos to Todd. When you start getting tighter and tighter and tighter dollars, 0.5% means a lot. So I just want to point out that the spending plan and forecast that Todd put together is very close, which is a good thing. It gives us confidence moving forward.
Well, I appreciate that. And if we do err, it's on the side of being conservative. We'd never want to hang the board out there thinking they have more than what they actually have. So we always try to, you know, fund the salaries at the maximum amount we think they will be. That's funding every supplemental that may be filled, even if we don't field a team that year. We estimate filling that supplemental. Or, you know, the health plan, estimating upwards of an 8% maximum increase, you know, whereas we may have only come in at a 5% increase. You know, so we budget for the worst and hope for the best. And we've seen that. Moving on to 18, we had our budget in place at the beginning of the year, which the board approved. A couple things here. We flatlined the spending for the state revenue. That's our state foundation funding. These two amounts right here in FY18. Our salaries were adjusted slightly. I've adjusted them slightly here to match more with what I think they may be. That's 3.85% more than what the actuals were last year is what I adjusted them to here. So it should be a little closer. Once we see the actual 17, we're able to better plan off of that. Whereas when we're looking into the future, a lot of times it's an estimate on an estimate. You know, so you're able to clamp that down a little bit.
But that number is lower than what you originally had.
Yes, right, it's lower. And then also on our HRA amount, originally we had $265,000. If you remember, we reported out, we said, you know, we're able to reduce that amount. That amount now, I've got a $210,000. So there's a reduced amount there. And then that leads to our cash flow for 18. The last meeting I had, December going into the red a little bit too, and January. Was looking at it here, you know, starting to look forward into our forecast and starting to make these adjustments. Still just an estimate, you know, this is still just an estimate, but right now it's like just in January, we've got a deficit there of $55,000. So that's something I think that we can overcome with proper management of our expenditures and really manage that cash flow so it times out right. Next here, we'll find the right sheet. Okay, this is the five-year forecast, and since I don't have the 2018 model yet, I took the 2017 model that we have in place and updated it with actual data for 2017 and actual budget amounts for 2018. And then I made notes of, as an exercise, to show the board different areas where, if the board decides to make certain adjustments, how that affects our five-year forecast, okay? The comments, though, address those. First of all, we removed from the most recent forecast, which was the May 2017 forecast, I removed the $461,000 and $571,000 additional revenue we expected from two-tier busing. So that's the first big thing that comes out of that last forecast. Those amounts come out. Adjusted the salary amounts to 3.85% increase off of the actual 2017 amount instead of what we had estimated. And once we saw those numbers come in, so that takes that to 8.15. And then 2.85% throughout the forecast, that's what we generally budget conservatively is a 1% increase for base and 1.85% for steps. What that amounts to, roughly it's about $81,000. $81,545 per 1% is what you're looking at. So if you see it 3.85%, that totals $232,404. Okay? Or I'm sorry, that's the 2.85%. So 1% is $81,000. 1.85% for the steps alone is $150,000. So when you start talking about then what if we reduce a percent, or what if we do a step freeze, or what if, you know, that's the kind of impact it has, just so you know that, you know, can get an idea, is the one thing is not going to solve, you know, this problem. It's going to be a culmination, a combination of things. So that's that there. And then moving down, we've got our benefits. Our health insurance totals approximately $1 million a year for the board. For instance, if you were to change that from an 80-20 split to a 70-30 split, where the board pays 70%, the employees pay 30%, the kind of impact that would be $125,000 savings for the board. So that's an exercise, an option you can explore there, heading down that road. But what happens if we play with the split, you know, that the board pays and the employees pay? And a lot of these things, and Tim has it in his notes here, need to be negotiated, you know, but it's something to bear in mind moving into negotiations. What, you know, so the board says, you know, what's touchable, what's not, what do you want us to go after, what should we not?
What's the starting number, Todd? Once kind of our revenues are, that we have in the bank are gone, what's the number we'd have to cut if we don't get any additional revenue? Basically, the expenditures outpacing the revenue.
What you're talking about is our bottom line here, probably, when we get to that, what we have to overcome.
Right.
And I'll get to that here as I move on down through here. Hopefully I answer that. If I don't answer your question, let me know.
Okay.
Moving on down here, the capital outlay, we had a budget here of $134,000. Like I said, historically, we spent on average $172,000. You can see in 17, we only spent $29,000, and in 18, we only budgeted for $63,000. So for 19 and moving forward, I still have that $130,000 in there, $134,000, because that's our sort amount. But there, you can see there could be a potential for savings there, based on the last 2 years even. So there's a little bit of room there.
Todd?
Yeah.
The capital outlay could come out of the PI fund, though. Is that?
That and that's why a lot of that has decreased. We push that burden off onto the PI fund.
Okay.
And then again, our HRA amount, we reduce that. But again, HRA is similar to the health insurance. It's exactly similar to health insurance, and it's an 80-20 split, the board side and the employee side. So again, if that's an 80-20 split right now, if you were to move that to a 70-30 split, you'd be looking at a $20,000 savings there for the board.
Tying the total expenditures going up, however much they go, $500,000 or whatever each year, is that the 2.8%?
A lot of that is percentage increases. A lot of that is we have a 1% increase budgeted for purchase service or supplies just for inflation.
8% for the health insurance.
Yeah, we have an 8% max in health insurance that we budget into the forecast too. So that's a big one because that's our maximum exposure for the board, our maximum liability for the contract.
So when you talk about changing these percentages, 80, 20, 70, 30, 50, 50, whatever, change.
Right.
You have to negotiate those in the next contract.
Correct.
Right? Those aren't things we can change today.
You could not change those today.
Correct. Okay. Make sure I'm clear.
When does the negotiation start?
Spring.
It ends in, it's over in June, right?
Well, it's over when it's over, but honestly.
Until we get a new one, the old one stays
working. Right, right. And if we can't settle on something, then you have to vote to roll it over. And that's problematic too, because there's pieces we would allow to roll over, but we wouldn't allow steps and base, for example. So
March, April is when
we'll start.
Another piece within the contract is, you know, the board pays, if you have to carry the health insurance with the board provides $325 per employee for a flexible spending account, an FSA account. That totals up to roughly $50,000, just under $50,000. So there's dollars there. And then we finally get to the point that you were talking about here, Mark, I think. You see here is FY19 as it stands right now with the information I just presented to you. Even though this is in a draft phase, this may not be the final number, you know, for our forecast. This is just an exploration here to give you an idea where we're at and what kind of things we're looking at. We're looking at a deficit of $46,677 at the year 19. So if you remember, our last forecast had us at a positive $16,000 for 19. It was essentially a wash, is what it was. We had additional funding we expected to come in for two-tier, and then we had additional costs we had planned for salaries. And so we saved on salaries, we saved on capital improvement monies, And then we also reduced, or we didn't receive the revenue we expected. So those two kind of canceled each other out. That's why you see we're really close to zero on one side, you know, with one forecast, really close to zero on the other side with the other forecast. So we're within, you know, $50,000-$60,000 either way on that. But that's what you have to overcome today, I guess, for 19, is that amount. But that's a one-year solution. You can see what it does as it grows. The cumulative effect of those changes that I just gave you as examples totals $427,000. So if I plug that $427,000 in here, you can see that we then go from ending with a negative $46,000 to a positive $380,000. Okay? If we carry that forward for the next 3 years, so for instance, when we negotiate, typically we like to try for a three-year contract. All sides typically like to go for a three-year contract. But I can't approve a contract if I don't have a positive balance for that year, if I can't, quote unquote, afford it.
Right.
So even if you just make those changes for the next 3 years, it's not going to solve our problems. There's more work to do, either on the revenue side or the expenditure side. But it would get us through 19. It does look like we could get through 19.
Tom, what's your state? What do we get from the state? Your flat line number that you got up there at the top.
Yeah.
What's your budget?
That's, you take these two combined. So those two combined is 5.1.
Okay.
Yeah, 5.1 million.
Okay. Now go down to your salaries. Here. Okay. See, Mark, there's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, your state income doesn't even cover your salaries every year. So, so the question that you were asking is, what do you got to make up?
I mean, that if you wanted to have a balanced budget, this is our deficit spending, 1.8.
That's what you were asking.
Yeah, right. 1.8 million. FY18 right now, as it stands, is looking at 1.2 million. Now, you can see in 17, we came in under a million, you know, on our deficit. But 920,000 as compared to 1.2, that's that amount we budget for, you know, conservatively. So that's that 300,000 where you saw we ended up to the good, a little better than what we thought. But even when we do that, we're still deficit spending. It's still chipping away at that general fund balance slowly but surely every year. And that's what we've been trying to highlight for the last few years, is that it's coming, you know, where we're not going to be able to overcome that deficit spending.
The state's been reducing their share every year. So as Mike's pointing out, what they're giving us is staying the same, and costs are going up.
Our state share index went from 28%, it's going down to 20, 22%.
Is that the changes to CAUV?
And then we get it coming and going. So CAUV then will hit us with our agricultural land values will, as a percentage of residential, will change. So we get targeted assistance based on our high ag values. So that will start to level out a little bit, so we would get less there. And then we'd get less on our inside millage on the real estate side. So locally, our local funding could go down because of the AUV decrease. So the only thing that we do have in our favor is that right now they do have a guarantee in place. So those factors aren't causing us to have less funding. It's just causing us to be flat. So there's no opportunity for growth like we had planned for.
We have 40 more kids now than we had in the school last year.
Right, that's the other thing. A lot of
so the guarantee.
A lot of the schools that received additional funding in this last budget cycle have declining enrollment. Schools like us that have increasing enrollment saw a flat line.
So what's the projected effect on the 20 mil floor with CAUV rebound?
And that's an interesting thing. That's something we kind of have to wait to see, but it'll ultimately bring us up off the floor. Well, what remains to be seen is how much the residential reval will offset the CAUV decrease. So if we have a good reval for a residential amount, it might be, and that's why I didn't touch that piece in here, because I had a 1%. You know, I had it roughly flat. So I still think it could be that. It could be a 1%, you know, increase.
If we hit the floor.
If we hit, well, no.
We're not going to hit.
We're not going to hit the floor. No, what I'm saying is if our inside millage, that's what it's going to attack. We look at potentially a 25 to 30% decrease on the amount we collect on our inside millage. So we collect roughly, it would be about, but it's supposed to be over the next few years. that impact. It's supposed to spread out over the next few years. But that amount, that's the only place on the inside millage that we can collect more or less revenue based on the property values. Everything else is tied to the reduction factors and make sure that we only collect the amount that we collected in the first year the levy was put in place.
Until we hit the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, until we hit the floor, right? Which it doesn't look like. It looks like now we're going to potentially come off the floor further. We were really close, but we never quite
there.
We've been really close.
We'll know in December.
Yeah.
We'll know in December of this year. But as you can see, that $2 million that we asked for with the last emergency operating levy, that's truly what's needed to fund the district. That's the amount of dollars you're looking for if you want to maintain the current level of service. So instead of $400,000 that I just showed you here on an exercise basis, you need to quadruple that. You know, you need to multiply that in order to actually meet the need over the next 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
You know, and I have a question, you know, I can give you data behind certain figures too, you know, what certain things cost. That may be more of a discussion we get into later, you know, as to when you start making these decisions and start finding out what these untouchable amounts may be or not, you know. For instance, you know, if you start looking at the busing route, I've got the spreadsheet that we use for the two-tier busing that lets us know that a typical bus that runs a route costs us around $33,000. Driver cost, maintenance, fuel costs us about $33,000. So if you were to cut a bus, it would increase the burden on the remaining buses. So you'd see a little bit additional cost, but there might be some savings there. It's just putting more kids on a bus and extending the route times. Because one of the things that we're not required to do that we do is high school busing.
So we don't have to do high school busing.
We don't have to do high school busing. But with us, it's a little problematic in that most of the routes we're going to run are going to be run for elementary age and or high school. We put the same kids on the same bus a lot of the time. But what we could do is run fewer buses and increase the route times, put more kids on a bus.
Let's move on if you guys have any questions.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Let's flip back to that. Okay, let's talk about the plan PI expenditures. We've got a renewal on the ballot in November. We've got our history behind us that builds confidence. Let's talk about what we plan to spend the money on. Let's flip to the next one. Right now, in the actual budget that you've approved, there's 2 buses to be bought. There's 4 classrooms of furniture, which those are all here. Intermediate windows, we have a cycle for replacing windows. We have this year and next, and I think we're done with intermediate windows. Curriculum resources, that's textbooks. Old textbook money we took out of PI. We buy those type of items that have a useful life of 5 years or more out of the PI. Right now, Mrs. Grigsby has $75,000 out of PI funds that she puts towards the classroom. Facility maintenance and upgrades, $158,000. Good example is the sewage plant. We just paid $20,000 to get the motors repaired. So we didn't buy new ones, we just got them repaired, but it was $20,000. So that's what that money's for. The HVAC in the high school, we budget dollars, a lot of money for the high school for the in the event that the HVAC goes down, we have to replace a big unit or something. Site improvements, all of our buildings have things that we're constantly working on, so there's $65,000 that's budgeted to account for that. New equipment, that can be anything from Phil needs something in the bus garage to computers for the classroom. Of that $99,000, about $45,000 of that is Chromebooks and iPads, because the iPads are old and we're trying to start to cycle those out. I'm mainly going with Chromebooks at this point. And then miscellaneous, $29,000, and that's just spread out across everything in the district. It's primarily set up for things we didn't think of initially. So you saw this, $731,000 is what we have planned right now to spend. That take care of all of it for this year coming up. It goes quick. We've been fortunate. The facility maintenance and upgrades, we've been able to plan those things, and we didn't have the big item that came and hit us and bit us. So we've been able to carry over some of those monies. That's why we have $731,000 right now instead of $500,000, because we didn't have to spend some money in the past. We don't budget everything. but we budget a heck of a lot of them. We try to spend it because, again, the community gives us this money to take care of these facilities and the equipment needs that are the classrooms, and we do. So that's the plan for this year. Any questions on that? That will be pushed out in detail as part of this campaign. You'll see it on our literature going out, our postcards, our newsletter, so people know what they, and also historically looking back, over the last 4 years, you bought this many buses, bought this many computers, this much furniture has been bought for children, that type of thing. So PI is much easier to market because you get to put pictures of what you bought. Literally, you can put pictures of kids sitting at new computers. So it's people want to see what you spend their money on, and they can see that. So
two new buses, if you buy two new buses, what do you do with the two that you replace? They go into storage, or you sit them, or you sell them?
If we can use them for parts, we'll keep them for parts. And the good news is since Boone is here, we've been buying the same bus, it's the same style bus. So we've got parts buses over there. If we can't use them for parts buses, we trade them in. You're better off to trade them in, because if you try to sell them, you're not going to get anything for it, and you have the hassle.
Well, either way, right.
Yeah. But that's what happens. All right, let's go to the next one. The general fund balancing plan. As soon as the levy did not pass, a lot of people asking me, okay, what's the cut list look like? Well, it's not just a cut list, it's a balancing plan. That's truly what it is. General fund's out of balance. Has been for a long time with the deficit spending. Not of our creation entirely. We've been fixing that for the last 5 years. Addressing those things where we felt that we could cut back, and we have been. So the budget balancing plan at this point is there anything else left that we can cut back on voluntarily, or are we to the point where we have to make major cuts because additional revenue is not going to be coming our way? So we have two options in the budget balancing plan. Pass a new levy, May of 18. I said levy, I didn't say what type. Or reduce our planned operating expenditures for school year 2018 and 19. The other question up there is, do we want to plan beyond that? In other words, as Todd pointed out, yeah, we can get 1 year fairly simply, but that next year, it's really ugly. And so if you don't start at the end of this year, going into next year to address that 2 years out, you can't do enough to offset.
You actually have a third option here, and that's to do both.
Yep.
Let's work on reducing expenditures at the same time we try to get the new levy. This way you show we're working toward saving the money. So we do have a third option, which I'm in favor of.
I'm 100% with you. The combination is what I'm comfortable with. Make some of the changes now. Have a game plan for what the changes are going to be, and be honest with the people. These are the things we're looking at if we don't pass May and August.
Well, I think we look at the reducing expenditures regardless. It's not a point of this is what the reductions we're looking at if the levy doesn't pass. These are just the reductions we're going to put in place because we need to.
Right. I agree. And that's the approach we've taken now for several years. Anytime we had an opportunity to reduce, we did. And we pointed to those many times. This reduction, I guess, is one that's more radical. And let's go to the next slide. I think that'll... this is the option one. Passing new levies in May of 18. You got emergency income tax, replace an existing operating levy that's been rolled back to next to nothing. Remember, that was an option at one time. But I don't know if a replacement historically does any better than new money, to be quite honest. In fact, replacement, as I went through, looks like it's been beaten up pretty good. So that's something we can talk about. The operating expenditures, and Todd touched on some of these. I'm gonna stand up. Examples of things that all districts look at, and we're certainly no different in times when you don't pass levies. Eliminate your planned step increases, and Todd talked about that. That was the 185.
That was about $150,000.
Eliminate the planned base increases. And everybody understand the difference between base and step? Make sure we're all on the same page.
1% is about $85,000.
Okay. Eliminate high school busing. We absolutely can do that. Problematic for us because our buses are still running the same routes, but kids will be on buses for longer periods of time. What's going to happen? Because you're going to put more kids on buses.
Well, actually, if we eliminate high school busing, we could run fewer buses without having more kids on the bus. If we eliminate the high school.
Right, but you still are going the same distances out there.
That's the area the buses are covering. That's not more kids necessarily, because once you eliminate high school students, those would be offset by the additional elementary students on the longer bus runs.
Right, your ridership would increase on your buses.
Right. No, I'm saying not necessarily.
Yeah.
You're saying do both.
You have fewer drivers and fewer buses.
Yeah.
So you
don't have
exactly,
as many
but
drivers.
You also have no high school students riding the buses. So
right, but that's what allows you to have fewer drivers
right.
and fewer
but that
routes.
Doesn't,
you're still going the same.
You may have longer bus routes, but if you eliminate the high school students, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to increase the ridership on the buses.
No,
I think
right.
that's one that we would
right.
take further examination.
Right. I know, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Transportation.
Makes sense. You're just going a further distance with fewer buses.
Director of Operations.
And there may be some increase in students on some routes, but maybe fewer students on others.
But if you were
right.
to do that and eliminate a bus, it's 30,000, you know, roughly 30,000.
Yeah, the assumption has to be made that everybody that is on the route is going to be picked up.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at running these routes, I mean, if you're looking at changing the ridership, can't plan for students that aren't going to be on the bus. You have to plan for
right.
a full bus. So that's where he's saying that your ridership will increase because they're going to pack them as full as they can. Versus now, they aren't necessarily packed as full as they can. They're packed for the time to get them back into the school.
We have
we're not going to worry about
minutes.
Time now. You're going to worry about
right.
packing them full of kids.
We won't worry about the 45 minutes. Your ride time is going to be an hour and a half long.
Okay.
How many high schoolers are even on the buses? Only freshmen and sophomores, right?
Well, yes and no.
So you have to be surprised.
Right.
There's a lot that, you know, get rides. From
it's much
ride.
Less than
you
the younger
ride.
Kids, yeah.
yeah.
But,
is it half, do you think?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't want to quote it.
Because we go next week, that's fine.
Eliminate the extracurricular
bus.
Activities.
It's not worth it.
And again, eliminate extracurriculars, eliminate supplementals. That's not just athletics. That's all extracurriculars.
If you eliminate all extracurriculars, all the supplementals that go with it, it'd be roughly $400,000 is what we spent last year.
And let's be clear about what that means. That's FFA. That's marching band. That's all athletics. That's field trips. All those things go away.
And included in that $400,000 would be the athletic director's salary too. Because if you didn't have athletics or extracurriculars, you wouldn't have an athletic director either. So that's part of that, just so you know, that part of that $400,000.
Well, isn't there other parts of that, like pay-to-play, or things short of, or keeping FFA and eliminating everything else? I mean, we can make targeted decisions.
We sure can. But then that gets into your, do you have any sacred cows?
Touches.
I already said I did.
Well,
right. that's
the sacred cows obviously get caught up in the eliminate everything. If you know what I mean, like
right.
that's a more hammer than
the challenge you have to pay to participate in a district that has 50% free and reduced. 50% of those kids are not going to have to pay that. Pay
this is the point I made with you, Mark, after the last meeting. My issues with pay for play.
Yep, that's your challenge.
But if you start eliminating extracurricular activities, aren't you not risking losing students?
Yes.
Enrollment.
This
yeah,
everything
enrollment
on here.
Decrease.
Everything on here is the beginning of a death spiral.
Yes.
That's what we're trying to avoid.
Okay.
And again, I want to make sure that I say loud and clear, these are examples. These are not recommendations.
Right.
You heard them, right, Sandy?
Right.
Does that go along with them or all
examples?
Well, Tim, I've talked to you
sure.
before about how we balance being honest, straightforward, in a way that educates them in a fair way to say these are the realistic things that could happen, versus holding this over people's head and say, you're not going to have football next year if you don't. Like, I think we have to be very careful how we present this to the people, you know, in a way that makes it serious, sense of urgency, whatever, without being heavy-handed. You know.
I would agree.
Yeah, so that's the trick
agree.
That we've got.
The challenge that this board is going to have, and the recommendation from me that I'll have, is if you say, okay, we want to do a pay to participate for all of our extracurriculars, you have to be real and honest with yourselves to say half of those kids are not going to pay. And so when you do that, $200,000 is what you want to save, not $400,000. So that's, we have to be realistic every step of the way. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. Decreasing insurance benefits. Asterisk beside that. Again, negotiations start in the spring. We told membership very openly, candidly, we talked about it in open board meetings, that we pass in August, we start next calendar year negotiating, we have a good starting point with the membership. Now, we don't have a whole lot to negotiate about. So when we sit down, you know, if they want to negotiate a contract and we haven't passed anything, these things are that are asterisks are all on the table, as well as other things that are within their contract I didn't even list. We have tuition reimbursement and all those, that's $50,000. Yeah. $250 a teacher for their classroom supplies on top of what we provide. So all those things will be part of that, and they know that. So reduced staffing, all areas are subject to reduced staffing, from administration to certified, classified, exempt. And as we go through this process, we will start evaluating positions you have to have and do not have to have, and what happens when you don't have those positions. It's easy. I could stand here today and say, well, let's just get rid of all these positions and we can balance the books. The problem you run into is they're providing a service, and who's going to pick up that service, or will it be picked up? And I've been very candid. Our reading specialists, for example, nobody says you have to have reading specialists, but they're having the biggest impact in the district in regards to our K-6 students being able to read. So that's not an easy one to just say, well, let's get rid of those. We may have to, but those are the debates that we'll have putting together this list. Elimination of support programs. For example, Master Connect. You said it was $20,000 that we pay for Master Connect. It's one of the most powerful tools that we've purchased in years for our teachers to handle all the data and have a real-time effect on their lessons that are being provided to students every day. But that's $20,000. Evaluate contracting out support services, busing, custodial, lunchroom, clerical. Those are all things, and I'm sure there's additional, that we could contract those services out. Now, you don't always save money by doing that, and busing is a dangerous animal to do that with. So once you contract it out and get rid of your buses, if you ever want to bring it back, you've got a big capital outlay to start it over again. So that's a difficult one. Increase consumables fee. Students at $45. We've always said that doesn't come close to what we're providing to the students on a yearly basis for the consumables. That could go up to $100-$150.
And also, you know, the board's made a decision that we're going to fund the number of students to that account at $45 a piece. You know, so for the students that don't pay, if it falls short, the board, that's the transfer we make at the end of the year to fund those accounts. So you could also make the choice to not continue that. But what that does is it puts more of a burden in the back end, I guess, on the front end, really, on the general fund, because if they're not going to request it out of their 09 account, they're going to look for it out of the general fund.
So the taxpayers are paying
one way or the other a lot of times.
Does every student have to pay that $45?
No,
every
not
student.
Free.
Well, yeah, free.
Half of
them.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, half of them.
Right.
Well, your free reduced to 45% or 50%.
Yeah.
We're probably lower than that, just the free. But
right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the point I wanted
to
make.
Yes. Yeah. Another option, eliminating the field trips we talked about under extracurriculars. Again, I'm not recommending any of these at this point, but you can start to see where you really start having to make difficult decisions and just putting forward a plan. It's not as simple as it might seem to be. And again, the biggest trigger I've seen from Todd's presentation, we don't have to do a whole lot to get 2019 balanced. It's that following year. But you have to start 2018-19 school year with these kind of cuts if you don't anticipate passing any of the revenue.
And I think people need to know that this is where we'll be. I don't think that it's funny. I think it's horrible. It's a terrible place for us to be in. But these are going to be decisions we're going to have to make. I don't know about you guys, I don't want to have to make any of these decisions. But if elimination's what we're going to have to do, it's going to be this list, right? And I personally, as a voter, as a parent, don't want to make any of these.
It's a $2 million pie that you have to decide how you're going to cut it.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone today, and they were genuinely sad, and the school employees, yep, they were genuinely sad that with all the progress we've made over the last 8 years, they feel like we're going to start going back the other direction. We're doing a U-turn. And that's why I agree with Mark. We have to make sure people have a very clear understanding that should we be on in May and don't pass, these things have got to happen. And it could be a phase-in. And we can talk about different things. You know, year one, these things will happen. Year two, these things will happen.
I think we just show the voters everything.
We can make that
here,
list look prettier.
But
what
not
I'm
pick out any timeline for cutting them. I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, it's a reality that if we don't pass it, there's a moment.
Well, that's the reality, but we show them what's on the table for cuts and not what we'll cut when. I just think that's not good. That hurts us.
The thing that I will not back off from ever is if the Board of Education, prior to the May, if we're on in May, agrees to and approves the budget balancing plan, which includes these reductions, and it's going to be implemented for the 18-19 school year, I won't back off of implementing them for the 18-19 school year.
Well, I don't think we should.
They
that's
won't let us
part
start,
of the two-step
right?
plan.
Correct. We don't have to.
Well, no, yet here's what you do have, though. You could balance 18-19 school year.
Right, yeah, that's
right.
$46,000
right.
that I showed. You know, that right now it's looking at $46,000 in the red. $46,000 is very overcome, very easy to overcome. I won't say easy, but we can overcome that.
But that's my point is, if we go on in May and if we're not successful, the board has said this is going to happen, that will happen. I won't make a recommendation to go against that because then you lose all credibility at that point.
Right.
We can't do that.
I mean, we've talked about falling off a cliff. You know, I keep the vision in my mind is Icarus flying to the sun. You know, we keep flying closer to the sun. Eventually, we're going to get burned. You know, our wings are going to get burned and we're going to fall to the ground. We just keep flying closer and closer to the sun every year.
I think if the board makes recommendations on certain cuts, even if the levy passes in May, we stick with the cuts. It's the decision that's made.
No,
that's the two-pronged plan we were talking about. And you stick with what you say.
Right. I think there's some that we should do anyways if they make sense
yes.
to us, and some that we only do if we have.
Right. I agree with that. Some you do if you absolutely have to. Some you do because, well, they make sense.
Tim, have you ever, the state auditor's office basically does a performance audit, kind of tell you where there's inefficiencies and stuff. Have we done one of those in recent years?
No, I've been part of one before. And remember, they do that based on state minimums. And state minimums is a whole different ballgame than where we've ever thought of being as far as cuts. They wanted to come in last year. We asked them to allow us to get through this levy cycle to see where we're at, and we talked about all the changes we were trying to make, and they said, okay, we'll back off.
Yeah, actually, I didn't want to come in after the October forecast, and once we were to demonstrate that additional two-tier funding, embedded it, and submitted it, they were okay with that. They said, okay, if anything changes, let us know.
So, again, hopefully the opportunity, we may be talking to them, they come out and do a performance audit, but keep in mind, they will make recommendations that could get you to, that would get you to the state minimums. In other words, you don't need high school art. You don't need all those things that you're not required to have. They will be saying, here's how you can balance your books. You get rid of deficit spending this way. And we could, but services are going away.
That's just getting us information.
I agree. Here's the challenge. This is why I hesitate on performance audits, because I was part of one, and we thought, wow, we're doing a bang-up job. We've got everything nailed down. They come in, and they have a criteria sheet over here of state minimums. And you're over here, and you're asking for a levy. They come in and say, well, you don't need 10 staff members, because you don't have to have reading specialists, coaches, boom, 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 right on down the line. Things that this district wants and holds dear, they say you don't have to do it. We don't have to. But that's in the front page of the newspaper. And I know Sandy would never do that. But it would be the front page of the newspaper. So now the board is between the performance audit compared to state minimums and where we're at now. And it looks like you've been overspending you know, for things you don't have to have. You don't have to have them. But this district has decided over time we do need those. And we would have to make a decision at that point that, well, we're not going to provide that service any longer. So, and to Bob's point, if it's going to be a, if we pass, we're still making some of those cuts, we'd have to have a multi-tiered plan, one that says if we don't pass, here's all the cuts. If we do pass, here's some of the cuts.
What they can bear in mind, too, is that they can come uninvited based on the forecast being in the black for as many years as they require. And if you don't meet that requirement, they may show up, whether you want to hear or not.
I understand how it could be used. But some of those things you say we've decided as a district, well, I'm not always aware of what is kind of a optional thing and what is, you know, something that's required. You know, so I view it as an education opportunity.
The challenge is you view it that way. The general populace, they'll see the headline, district can cut 15 teaching positions and balance the books. That, because the performance audit is very black and white. There's no gray. You guys are doing a good job, but no, it's here's how you
balance
your books.
State minimums is a different level, too.
Yes.
Right.
So I welcome it. I don't have a problem with it. Right. Just be aware that it will be construed in an ugly way.
I would be willing to bet some of our parents would look at it and go, my kid doesn't like guard, so let's get rid of that. But wait, we can't get rid of that. And then,
exactly.
What the mess we're in.
It will happen. All right, those are just some of the examples. Negotiations start in the spring. We definitely will be talking about those things. One of the conversations we will have is our marching orders for negotiations. And again, we'll have Jessica here to help us walk through some of those things. And negotiations are absolutely an executive session, privileged conversation. So that's where you go from this type of presentation in public to when you start talking about positions, you get to executive session, and rightfully so, it's for negotiations. If we flip to the next one there, Todd. We're back to the questions. Do we have it? The one thing we didn't go through, because we kind of skipped right through it, the communication plan, that's the first question. So I don't know if you had a chance to read it. I wanted to touch on it here briefly. I'm going to flip back to it there. Going to flip to read through some of these things to point out what we did and did not do during the August campaign. Superintendent's columns, we're doing two of those per month. Gathering all issues raised during the August campaign from Facebook through direct solicitation from impact staff and village councils and trustees. There were a lot of things that were difficult for the administration to swallow during the campaign because a lot of people have keyboard courage when they're out on Facebook and social media. They don't always have all their facts, and the facts they do have might be dated. Our advice that was given to us was to not get into that debate on that in that forum. As you go down through here, one of the things that I'm going to recommend that we do is we basically call out and identify sentinels for us, that folks that would watch Facebook and social media and point out to us that, hey, there's a question out here about, you know, this topic, is this correct? We respond, let them know that's not correct, here's the data, and they can get on there because they have a contact with the person that's putting the information out. If I respond to somebody, it looks self-serving. If it's somebody they know and they've got the information, we provide it to them, they provide it to that person, hopefully it'll take care of the issue. Might be saying, hey, you're absolutely right. But it might be saying, no, you need to take a look at this piece of information.
So, I would suggest that board members don't get involved in the Facebook conversation.
Right. It's an ugly place because you're not going to win. That's why I say, through this campaign, if we can identify folks that are willing to just monitor social media and just say, hey, they're talking about the landscaping, for example. That's always a bugaboo question. Okay, here's the information. We've addressed that. Boom. Read this. It might be just that simple to nip some of that. And maybe they raise some questions we haven't heard and we can address them and have a good conversation about it.
I think that would be a good forum for us to tell the truth or to put the truth out there, because I think, you know, what I find very frustrating is when you see something that's not true. And you're right, Bob. I won't engage in that social media battle, but it's not true what they're putting out there. Some of it's good questions, but some of it's just not true information.
I saw some of it on the operating levy.
Yeah, and you just hate to see that, right? You hate to see that that's what, because then people tell that not true. That's all.
So, no. So the point I'm making is we're not going to just sit back and watch it now. We'll have folks that will have connections that can reach those people and help get them the information to kind of clear it up for them. And we'll reference everything. Again, trust is an issue. You've got to have a reference point. I'm saying, well, you can refer to this as an independent support for the fact that we're making. Voter registration drives, you see November 7th, for the November 7th ballot, it's October 10th. We're going to do that. We need to get on the ball. District newsletters, the Talon Talk. We did that 14-15, 15-16, and 16-17. We kind of moved away from it because we thought our electronic communication was enough. The Talon Talk was our hard copy newsletter that went to every household. So we have budgeted within our budget for this year funds available to send home newsletters, which will include factual information on the PI and whatever we decide to do for May. So those folks that, you know, aren't on the parent list or whatever list we might have, they will get that. They will know what's going on. At the impact meeting on this Wednesday, we're actually going to have a live feed where community members can submit questions over Facebook to us, and we can respond to it at that meeting. So I'm hoping we get a few of those just so we can kind of get the discussion going that way. People don't want to come in here. Maybe electronically they will. So one of the things we're going to try. Myself, the principals, and Mr. Mason, who's already a veteran of Twitter, we're going to get some tutorials on that and start touching people that way. I'm not going to start tweeting at 4 in the morning, but we will during the school day. So we'll prepare releases on the district website, on the PI portal. My hope is that we have like a dashboard. Folks want to see, okay, what have you done with my money? What do you plan to do with my money? It's an easy reference point for them, just like we've talked about tonight, but much easier for the public to digest. Updating our email list from our parents by the end of August, creating a PI logo. Something as simple as a green and white logo with MPPI that we can just stick on everything. My thought was everything on campus that's been bought with PI, we put a sticker on. So when parents, folks that come to football games, we put those stickers on everything the PI bought so they get an idea of, oh, okay, that's what that money's going for. Now, that doesn't help with the people that don't come on campus, but at least those people know that. This was an idea from Michelle, the two-sided roster cards. Wasn't in time for the first home game, but I think we will for the second one. Basically, just having our Facebook information. Tim Wilson doesn't know he's going to be asked to donate that.
It'll be
that's
the paper tomorrow.
Right?
That's right. That's right. and so we'll have information on one side and your roster card on the other side. Looking at passing those out at the point of sale. Now we can put one side. Thank you. In September, we continue on with a lot of the same things. All the information that goes out from the school to have the MPPI logo on it. So a newsletter sent home from a teacher's classroom can have that in the corner. You're not asking anybody to vote yes. You're just saying, reminding them there is a levy on, which we are absolutely allowed to do. So basically, any piece of paper going out from here will have that logo on it. Obtain SHP, August election analysis of voter, talked about that. I want to, starting in September, issue 3 postcards, September, October, and the end of October. And the question that Michelle posted there was to just register voters or all residents. I advocate for all residents for the PI. There's no reason not to. District newsletters describing our financial plan. Issue the parent email blast detailing specifics about the levy. Get the voter registration to those parents. Again, I think we're going to find out our parents didn't vote. our staff meeting during September. We have a staff in service discussing the levy. We can give factual information. Her question was, it's during the school day, so you can you give them factual information during the school day? It's a good question. I'll pose it to Jessica and see if we can. If we can't, we won't do it. Got the PI portal out in September. Our social media sentinels at that point will be out there. I take that from the Matrix. Not that these sentinels will do the same thing as the sentinels in the Matrix, but that's where I got that from. They will go out and keep an eye open for questions that are being posed that are not being answered, or statements that are being made that don't sound like they're consistent with the information that we have. Communicate the need to the PI to the village councils in September and attach a schedule. She wants me to attach a schedule there. Hold the impact meeting in the Mount Sterling Community Center. Mount Sterling, again, just like all the other villages, was not supportive, but it's our biggest population center. So we have the impact meeting down there, and I go to the council meeting, ask them to come, and see if I can get the chamber to come. Hopefully we can have a good conversation. Have our signs out. We've got those out at the football stadium now. There's one more that's going to go down. Flyers home to the parents. We can send as many of those as we want home on just factual information. Yard signs, PI plan for the next 5 years at the board meeting. We talked about that. Keeping our blog updated. Attend the PTO meetings. Ask for a spot on their agendas. One calls. The social badge, which is what we said for MPPI. And then the electronic versions. And then we move on. October, we put out the levy yard signs. Invite the local reporters in for one-on-one discussion. So we do have a date, Sandy, right? Look, she's like, are you talking to me? She's, issue the two superintendent columns, postcards, newsletter. Use the SHP voter analytics to determine who did not vote. Assign contacts for those folks. I'm assuming and hoping that our staff will be much more willing to participate in reaching out to people now. The school's back in session, and at that point we will have many discussions on what will happen if we do not pass. So I think they'll be very interested in helping. And then in October, holding the impact meeting in Midway. Midway Council is always great to get out and talk to, and hopefully they'll get the people to come in.
I would suggest giving them a little advance notice to see if they can't move that to the firehouse.
Okay.
And right. Combine, because the their meeting falls on the same day as the Range Township trustees meet.
Oh.
So maybe if we could do that with firehouse.
Okay.
But give them a little advance notice.
Okay. Second flyers going home, signs out at each football game, script and infomercial we read during the home games, which we did not do the first game, but we've got to talk about how much information is getting pushed out at the football games. There were quite a few commercials in the first game, so we're going to try to have that very targeted. Got our social media sentinels. You can read right on down through there. I'm going to read all of that. Then in November, our final newsletter goes out. The first, the district postcard goes out. Flyer homeless students about the levy. Issue parent email blast. Issue the one call. Contact made to parents identified by SHP by November 6th and went on November 7th. If this works at a very, if we pass at a very high rate, I'll take that as more than just history. I take it as part of this plan had some impact. Everybody knew what was going on. So I didn't expect you to say yay or nay on this. I'm just looking for feedback. It doesn't have to happen tonight, but anything else you can think of that I need to relay to the campaign committee or anything like that?
I'll give you one thing right now. On election day, November 7th, they post the roll of voters and who has voted. The levy committee should have people checking that roll of who has voted and calling the people that have not voted to see if we get them out to vote. It's there for viewing for anybody. It would be a big help.
You may have said it, but the is the May, if say we end up going down that route, I like the thought of telling people, I don't know how we do it, but I don't want to put everything into this and then they see it, may come on there and say, well, they're coming at us again. Is there any way we can work that in. Second, this is
that's a good
here's
point, Mark. I like that.
Right, here's
let them know during the PI campaign that we're going to have an operating budget.
The newsletters, each newsletter is going to talk to both. You're going to see on the front page of each of the newsletters, PI levy, the date, and what it's for. The operating levy, whatever that is, income tax, operating, whatever it is on this side. This is the date this is going to be on. This is what it will pay for. And so people know when they're going in, okay, this is just for buses and computers. It's not for pay raises or anything like that. That separates the definition of the two clearly in their eyes three different times. And we'll be in the newspaper where I'll talk about it. So I think that's the problem is those folks that aren't the parents getting the flyers. It's those people that don't get any information. We've got to get it in their hands.
I did like your letter in the paper. I thought that was good. I like the way it read. I like all the details behind it. It was nice about the impact meeting and inviting people to join, in public, parents or not. I thought that was, you know, it's what we have to do, right? Ask for feedback.
And we had,
even when
that's why we moved
we're
the
not
impact
getting
meeting.
It, right? Ask
I had
for
five
it.
Different parents say they wanted to come, which I'll move a meeting anytime I get that many parents want to come and
right.
talk about, you know, what's going on. So
it's good.
So if you think of anything else,
I just want to say, well, with EP reference, we think we're going to see our parents didn't vote in the numbers we want. That very well may be true, but I think the key is why. If that,
I agree.
Right.
Okay, how can we address that?
If it comes back that our parents didn't get out, if we see from our list that we had 15% turnout of our parents, then that is the next question, and that's one that we need to focus in on and address with our parents. And we can do that in any number of ways. Anything from the email blast we send out to the parents to our blog, any way we can get them to feed back to us. Here's why I didn't go vote. It was nice out. I wanted to go do something else. I don't know.
No, there's a lot of people that I was talking to. It's like, oh, was that yesterday? Yeah. Is there anything that we can do as board members, like writing any letters or anything anything of us maybe that you'd like to see that we should or should not do?
Well, improving, ratifying this openly here, you are doing some things. The newsletters, the postcards, we've already got money budgeted for this year in the board's account for printing services. So we're utilizing. We do every year, we just usually don't use it. This year we're going to. So in a sense, you are. But beyond that, this is what we're doing. I'm going to wait for the campaign committee to kind of get beside us and say, okay, what do you want us to do? And they have to figure that piece out. I'm hoping some of these things they'll grab onto and say, okay, once you find out that it was the parents that didn't get out to vote, then allow us through the PTOs or whatever, the GISA groups, to reach out and find out why parents didn't come out and vote. We really need to know that. And I guess
that's probably doable to find out because we can reach them more readily.
Yeah. And we also need to know why the non-parents voted no. We all make assumptions, but we need to know specifically, was it just lack of information? Did they feel like they were excluded from the campaign? And so I'm voting no because you haven't talked to me. And some people are like that. If I don't get something specific to me, I had a phone call from an elderly lady that said, I always get something whenever something's on the ballot. I didn't this time, so I'm voting no. I don't have any kids in the district. So, I mean, that's just, we'll take care of that. I will say if we're on in May and we do a campaign like this, it's very expensive. That's the other piece. You know, it's very expensive to campaign it. Not, I mean, it's also expensive at the Board of Elections, but to run it is expensive. I think this campaign we ran for under $4,000.
Oh, the levy committee?
Yeah, August. Yeah. I think it was for under $4,000. This, to do all this, for them to buy all the things, it'll be $6,000-$7,000. But that's okay. I just want to make sure we all have a realistic perception of what it will take. Okay, let's go back to the questions. Right on target. Yeah, the presentation. We need to decide, and again, it's not the earlier we decide what we're doing in May, the earlier we get to start communicating what that is. Gives us more of a window. We want to take our time and explore, like I say, number three, there are different types of levies. We can have a meeting just to talk about income tax and, you know, talk Todd can get the numbers on what that would generate, how long it takes for it to come in, and how that impacts the forecast. We can do that again. Happy to do it. But my hope is that as we approach the November election, we have pretty much set what we're going to do for May. Because I want to be able to tell people in these communications, here's PI, here's what we're doing in May. So
one of the things that we talked about when we talked about the different levies, though, was we felt, based on history, that a renewal would be the easiest to pass. Mm-hmm. If we were to change our minds now and go for an income tax levy, I mean, that's almost like starting from scratch.
Right, I agree. The renewal of the PI is not up for debate, in my opinion. It's the operating
levy. The what?
Emergency operating.
The emergency operating levy, yeah.
I agree with Tula. I would keep an emergency operating levy.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the things that we talked about with that specific levy. So
it's critical, right?
It is.
Well, but it's not a renewal of an operating levy. It's our second attempt at free money.
I understand that, but I think we need to stay on point. As it, we present it as an emergency operating levy. Cool, I think you're right. Let's stay on point. That's what we need.
I don't disagree with you. I'll just be the devil's advocate and say that I know the people that didn't vote for it sat there and told me over and over and over, you better put an income tax levy on or I will never vote for it. So, now, I'm just being devil's advocate here. As soon as you just throw this right back at them the same way it was before, you're going to get, I think you're just basically throwing it back in their face and saying, I don't care what you said, I'm throwing it out there again.
That was my concern as far as putting something back in May. They vote it down. If we don't do anything different, put it back on there. I used to, as a voter, I didn't like that at all. Like, if you don't do anything different, you're trying to shove that down my throat.
That's, I guess, what I was,
I view it as if we make some appropriate cuts and lay out what we're going to do, that's taking some action. But
they don't. I don't think they listen to that.
Is that we don't worry about the no votes and we just make sure there's yes votes that we expected in August.
I don't think we stand a chance of passing an income tax
August.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They didn't show up. That's where we're at. Though, why didn't they show up?
So our history on income tax. You have that spreadsheet up still, don't you? What was that? When we put the income tax up, that got killed, correct?
We put it
correct?
On three times.
And I think my opinion is maybe it would probably get killed again. I don't know that answer. I'm just, when was it?
There was one in 82.
82.
That failed 71%.
It was on 05.
Oh, 05. It's on 05.
5 and 6. You get three in a row. 61, 65, 67.
1%, 1.5, 1.25, 1.25.
Was a part of it. They were right after. So the November income tax in November of 05 was right after they passed operating levy in May of 05. So they passed it in May of 05 and then they followed it with an income tax in November and they voted it down. So it could have more to do with the levy, the following one levy after another, after another, after another, and less to do with what type of levy. It's hard.
So we would still be in that same situation because, right, we have one on November and then decide that.
The one in 82 is interesting.
What's 82? The good years.
Income tax. It was put on as a continuous, which is problematic.
Right here.
And it failed miserably.
Okay.
But you can see they had a lot of attempts before that, but I mean, it was on. You had 77, 78, 80, 81, 82, 84. So, I mean, they were on the ballot all the time. So they were just trying anything that would stick. So. The challenge, the frustrating part, I guess, is I've been here long enough to know all the cuts that we've already made. We made a lot of significant changes that have cut a heck of a lot out of this budget. Now you're getting what I call the core, the meat, the operations. When you're taking insurance and you're tweaking it and changing it and saving some money each year, that those are just efficiencies being gained. Now we're talking about cutting services, one way or another. That's where we're at now. There's not a whole lot of tweaking left. There's no, like I said, it's not just efficiency being gained, it's cuts. So that's where, if we go back to the question list.
Sorry.
No, we're good. I look at number five. Does the board want me, in working within Todd's forecast, develop a budget balancing plan for general fund for 18-19 and beyond? Because 18-19, if you just say 18-19, Todd and I'll smile and say, sure, we can do that. Because it's 40-some thousand bucks, and we can do that.
Only if we talk about number four first.
I hear you. That's the conversation we would have. And that's why I started out by saying, I got to know the untouchables. Because I can put together a plan easy enough, but if there's things, the priority, the pecking order, I mean, there's a lot of things we can cut. You're gonna have it's where your pain falls. So I asked number five. I think that I think we have to do that. That has to be done. And then it needs to be brought to you guys to look at and say, well, I disagree with that, or I like this, or this is more of a priority than this. But that has to start now. I don't want to wait till November the 8th and start working on that. We can't do that.
I think one thing as part of that is to get the board's opinion as far as, even if we may have an instance of like short-term borrowing, you know, throughout the year due to that cash flow that we have to enter into, the board's view of debt and how we leverage that. So it may, you know, instead of $50,000 worth of cut, just to show a balance, positive balance at the end of the year, is it more than that so that we don't ever get below the line throughout the year? Because that's another thing to consider.
So does the board have an issue with me putting together the balancing plan and then bringing it back to you guys to chew up?
I think that's a good idea.
And I'll bring lots of options. It won't be, I mean, you see the things I had as examples up there before. There's more.
Well, I still have untouchables that I don't want to
do. Bob Sack has untouchables.
Well,
I think he's just giving the proposal and then we.
Yeah, yeah. Would you like to see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It won't be a recommendation from me. It'll be a proposal.
Right.
There's a big difference there. A proposal, you can say, I don't like that, let's do this. Recommendation is vote yes or no.
Right. That'd be great if you could do that.
Which is for 18-19.
Yeah, that's the other question. You want us to balance 1 year, 5 years, 2 years?
5 years down the road.
I'm comfortable with five.
I think, yeah.
Or at least three.
I was going to say three, but five.
Well, that's fine to say, but our plan is based on a 5-year plan. So let's look at 5 years.
Sure.
And
just so you know, I mean, there's a lot that can. And you know, there's multiple budgets, state budgets that come into play, and different things that can happen in that amount of time. The reason I had the 3 years highlighted is because that's the typical contract period that we enter into. You know, so 3 years is usually a good thing to look at.
As far as number four, why don't I put together the proposal, and then you guys can take a look at it and say, well, this is sacred ground.
We can have time to kind of formulate our,
I don't want you to have to. I know you have no problem with doing that, Bob, but let's wait until we see the proposal. As far as the timeline, I'd like for the newsletter in October to have information in there about, irregardless of having something on the ballot in May, these are the things we're looking at. So that September meeting, having, you know, a proposal to you guys to take a look at, and so we can at least communicate that the Board of Education in the October newsletter that we are looking at proposed reductions, and here's what we're considering. then that way the public knows, okay, for May, here's what could happen. It still gives us plenty of time to decide what you want to put on the ballot.
And May's a general election, so we don't have to pay for that, correct?
Well, we have to split the cost somewhere.
Right,
but well,
it's
we split the cost, but we don't have to do what we did in
we share
much cheaper.
A lot of these things you're asking for, too, will coincide with the October forecast, you know, that we'll be preparing. And I can almost guarantee that I don't foresee us showing a deficit in 19 in the forecast. I don't see myself submitting a forecast that says the next year we're going to be in the deficit. So I know we're going to be preparing these things for the next 5 years, and if this says 18-19, that's probably going to take care of itself just in the forecast process, the 18-19. It's those years beyond where it goes to a $1.5, $2.5, $3 million deficit is going to be the bulk of what discussion's going to be.
Why don't we look at it this way? We just tried to pass $2,050,000 because we said that's what we needed. So I think your direction to me is you want to see a budget reduction plan for $2,050,000 each year, which was what we said would get us through 5 years. So it's just the equivalent.
Yeah, how do we keep operating if we don't pass a levy? What's life look like if we haven't passed a levy?
I think that's what you'll show us.
That's the proposal.
Yeah,
it's.
Do we need an extra meeting in September?
Yeah, it depends on how in depth you want to get at that September meeting. What I'm trying to do is space things out of our meeting so they're not 3.5 hours long. What else do you have to do, right? So, okay, so the September meeting, I'll have a proposal that we can start to chew on. October's newsletter, we'll have that information in what we consider. We need to look at the timeline for the May ballot.
Okay.
We have to have information in this. So that's what we'll plan on for September. Board meeting. You guys can kind of mull over exactly what you're looking for in May of 18, and what you've heard. Then I'll come with my recommendation of October meeting for May. That gives us plenty of time to get all the paperwork done for a May ballot. Any questions? That's everything I have for my report.
Assistant principal for the 7th through 12th building. Ms. Berger was approved at July 18th, 2017 meeting to be employed at the 7 as the 712 assistant principal.
A second.
Discussion?
Vicki. Well, I understand this is the new employee in an existing position. Do we typically do 3-year contracts?
For your administrators, they always, their first contract's always 3 years.
Okay.
And that's because it's hard to get them to come without that. She was approved the last meeting. Vicki apologized, saying she forgot to put the 3-year term in there. So I'm not throwing her under the bus, but she would make sure you knew that she apologized for that.
Or you threw her under the bus.
No, she wanted me to say that.
Nice. Any other questions, discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zedekas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board employ Ashley Reeves, cook helper, on a 165-day contract, step 0, effective September 13th, 2017.
Second.
Discussion?
She replaces Michelle Powers, who resigned her position. This is not a new position.
Questions? Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zedekas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board approve the following resolution to advertise and receive bus bids.
Second. Discussion.
Now, this is not to purchase buses. This is just to solicit bids.
Okay. Correct. That's correct. And if you'd like, at the our regular meeting, I can bring the our fleet and show the history and
that would be great.
Miles we've got.
And this will have to come back to the Board to vote for the actual
purchase.
That's what I wanted to make sure we were aware of that.
Yep. Yeah. Because I
I know.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
But we can't buy them unless we bid them, and can't bid them unless you tell us we can.
Okay.
Any questions? Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mrs. Pooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Sinkus?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. Do we have executive sessions here tonight?
Section 1, I have one item I need to get clarity from the Board on.
I'd like to make a motion that we enter into executive session at 7:40 p.m. The purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G. Section 1, to consider the employment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual.
Tim, can you say which one of those criteria?
Employment. Employment of.
Okay.
Second.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.